and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat Podcast. We like to get right into it, and what we're going to get into today is why the Sussman jury matters, why the jury in the case against Michael Sussman, the one that was brought by the special counsel, John Durham, why that matters. I mean, what does the acquittal of Sussman say about the state of politically charged investigations in Washington? Well, it says that juries matter whether or not a case actually goes to trial. Okay. Now, you remember Sussman is the Democratic lawyer. He was charged by John Durham, the special counsel, with lying to the FBI in 2016. It was during the presidential campaign, Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump. So Sussman was working on behalf of the Hillary Clinton campaign. This is according to the indictment. Sussman tried to plant a derogatory story about Trump with the FBI. And in the process, according to the indictment, Sussman falsely claimed that he was not acting on behalf of the Clinton campaign. Now, on Tuesday, a jury in Washington found him not guilty. So they didn't buy the story. Now, the jury has the right to decide. That's their role. But there nevertheless seems no doubt that Sussman lied to the FBI. He even did so in writing when requesting a meeting with James Baker, who was the general counsel of the FBI. Sussman sent a text to Baker the night before they were supposed to meet. He said, "Jim, it's Michael Sussman. I have something time-sensitive and sensitive I need to discuss. Do you have any availability for a short meeting tomorrow? I'm coming on my own, not on behalf of a client or company. Want to help the Bureau." Okay, so that is the note that Sussman sent to James Baker. Now, in fact, Sussman was working for the Clinton campaign. He even billed the campaign for the effort that he made to tell the FBI this story. So the part of his written message to James Baker that said, "I'm coming on my own, not on behalf of a client or company," was simply not true. So even though the case seemed open and shut, Durham knew that he was taking a risk in bringing the case to trial in Washington, D.C. Now, why is that? It's because Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, has perhaps the deepest blue jury pool in the United States. In the 2016 election, Clinton versus Trump, Clinton won 90.9% of the vote in the district. Trump won 4.1%. Okay, 90.9% to 4.1%. So the Sussman jury reflected that political situation during the trial. And we all knew this. I mean, they have this process where they question prospective jurors. And so we learned something about them during the trial. And at that time, Jonathan Turley, who is the George Washington University law professor, noted that the jury, quote, has three Clinton donors, an AOC donor, and a woman whose daughter is on the same sports team as Sussman's daughter. So Turley added to that, he said, look, with the exception of randomly selecting people out of DNC headquarters, you could not come up with a worse jury. Worse, of course, for the prosecutor. Pretty good for the defendant in this case. So it was not exactly a shock when the jury found Sussman not guilty. So after the acquittal, most of the jurors decided not to talk to the media. Now that is completely understandable. These are politically intense times. Going out there, appearing before cameras, giving your name and all that might have led to harassment on social media or in real life. Nevertheless, the forewoman of the jury did speak to some reporters anonymously, when court let out. And what she said was really interesting in light of what I've just been talking about with Washington, D.C. juries. So she said, the forewoman of the Sussman jury, "Personally, I don't think it should have been prosecuted." That's what she said of the case. "Personally, I don't think it should have been prosecuted because I think we have better time or resources to use or spend to other things that affect the nation as a whole more than a possible lie to the FBI." Okay, she doesn't think it should be prosecuted. It should have been prosecuted. Why? Quote, "Because I think we have better time or resources to use or spend to other things that affect the nation as a whole more than a possible lie to the FBI. Okay, that's what she said. So what is striking about that is both the casual dismissal of a possible lie to the FBI and the fact that in recent high-profile investigations of Trump-associated figures, prosecutors viewed a possible lie to the FBI as a very serious matter. In fact, two of the most consequential cases launched by Robert Mueller, the Trump-Russia special counsel, two of the most consequential cases launched by Mueller were those of Michael Flynn and George Papadopoulos, and both focused exclusively on the crime of lying to the FBI. Each man, Flynn, Papadopoulos, pleaded guilty to a single count of making false statements to the Bureau, and Mueller's sentencing memo in both cases stressed the gravity of the offense. Papadopoulos ended up serving 12 days in jail, while Flynn, you may remember, withdrew his plea. The case got bogged down in court battles, and both were ultimately pardoned by President Donald Trump. So these were very serious cases, and they focused exclusively on the crime of lying to the FBI. Now, other Mueller targets were also charged with lying to the FBI, perhaps in addition to other offenses. But in all of the cases, the special counsel saw lying to the FBI all by itself as worth prosecuting. Now, did he think that we have better time or resources to use or spend to other things that affect the nation as a whole more than a possible lie to the FBI? Did he think that? Well, if he did, he still charged Flynn and Papadopoulos with lying to the FBI. Now, there's another factor that strengthened Robert Mueller's hand in all this, and I'm going to talk about that next.
This week on the Federalist Radio Hour.
And the obvious challenge to that is the media blackout. You know, if this were in the other direction, if the difference here was, you know, going in the other direction, then it would be nonstop in the same way. In fact, actually, we have a pretty neat case study in this with the Russia hoax itself. It was nonstop coverage from the media that was essentially doing in journalistic gymnastics to fabricate a conspiracy theory.
I'm Emily Jashinsky of The Federalist. Subscribe to The Federalist on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, yeah, I said I was going to talk about another factor that strengthened Robert Mueller's hand in his investigation. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I did want to say, if you've been listening to the podcast and enjoying, hopefully enjoying the podcast, maybe even learning a little bit from the podcast, it would be really great if you could subscribe to the podcast. You can do it on iTunes. Anywhere you get your podcast, and I'd really appreciate it. It'd be much, much appreciated if you could subscribe to the podcast. So one of the things that strengthened Robert Mueller's hand and weakened the hand of Michael Flynn and George Papadopoulos was the knowledge that if their cases went to trial, they would be tried before a jury in deeply liberal Washington, D.C. The very prospect of having to go to trial before a jury in Washington increased pressure on Flynn and Papadopoulos to make a deal with prosecutors, which they did. So the composition, the jury pool in Washington, matters whether the case goes to trial or not. So here's the thing. In both cases, Flynn and Papadopoulos, you could have made the argument, one could have made the argument, that the charges were nitpicking, or they were murky, or that the government had not proved every minute detail of the charges, or that pursuing the charges, even if they were based in fact, did not represent the best use of time or resources that could have been better spent on other things that affect the nation as a whole, more than a possible lie to the FBI. You could have argued that. Whether one accepted that argument or not about Flynn or Papadopoulos might well depend on one's political views. You might believe that a case really shouldn't have been brought, and you might have been a Trump supporter. Now, the forewoman of the Sussman jury said that politics were not a factor. Quote, politics were not a factor in the verdict. And she said the government had the job of proving beyond a reasonable doubt that Sussman was guilty and that, quote, we broke it down as a jury. It didn't pan out in the government's favor. Now, is she saying that the government failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Sussman was guilty? She said it didn't pan out in the government's favor. Well, it sure didn't. The government lost the case. So after the case, you probably saw this, Durham's critics just cheered, and they pronounced his investigation a failure. Okay. But we've talked about this earlier. Durham's probe has in fact revealed a lot of important information to the public. He has done valuable work, and he's likely going to do more. He has a case coming up in the fall that is likely going to be very, very interesting. But he cannot control how a jury thinks. The system just does not work that way. It's a good system, the best way we have to deliver justice. And the jury's decision is the final word. But the rest of us can still have our own opinions about why it turned out as it did. There really seems no doubt at all that Michael Sussman did, in fact, lie to the FBI. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about the importance of the jury in this Sussman case, and the jury coming from Washington, D.C. As you know, so many of Durham's critics have been kind of cheering this on and saying it proves that Durham's entire investigation is worthless, it was political, and it should be shut down. Well, we learned a lot from Durham's investigation, and the jury is what it is. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. Glad you could listen in. We really appreciate it whenever you can, and hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.